What do you reckon of Wolves? Do you think they can get top five and win the Europa League?
Ooh, both might be tricky, but I think they will come in the top five.
They don't need bugs, do they?
No.
They just need one, and they're still in the Champions League. No. City buggered.
But I wonder if
Yeah, I think they can make top five for sure.
Because we all remember that I tipped them last year to come top seven, and that happened.
I know.
I doubled down again this year and said I think they'll go deep into the Europa League, and it's looking like it's going to happen. So I'm just thinking, I wonder if they can. But I did say they'd go deep in the Europa League at the expense of their league form.
Yeah, you did.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm just wondering now if they've
got an all right squad, though. Like, sometimes they play their Europa League team and they rest a few players, and their squad's not that bad.
If Man United and Tottenham keep doing it,
well, yeah, I think, maybe not go too far. I think Everton was always going to be a tough game.
Actually,
but I think Wolves might catch Chelsea.
This one is short, so can we put Josh on that mic?
Yeah,
I can give you a longer cable if you want.
Oh, that, yeah, do that. Actually, there you go. They got a small squad, and everyone was saying their squad being small is going to mess them up. But I wonder if Nuno actually prefers having... Was it Chelsea about 8-9 years ago? You won a title or something with, like, using 13, 14 players or something like that. Who was the manager you had? And he hardly ever changed it. Was it Conte? Or before? I think it was before Conte.
If it was before Conte, it would have been the season where Jose won it and we played well up until the end of January. I was literally saying this to Josh. Played well up until the end of January and then completely imploded.
When Spurs beat you on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that the year you only played like 14 players or 13 players?
I mean, I'm struggling to think who would have rotated in that team because Costa would have played every single game. Nice one.
All right. So this is the FFP with myself, Jordan, Jarrett, Brian here. As you may have realised, we are short on numbers today. We've got Josh here. What are you saying, Josh?
I'm doing all right, you know.
Good.
All good.
Been a couple of cancellations within the last hour. So the other Josh, which you guys have sometimes heard in the background, who does all the technical doings on the show, we've got a mic for you as well.
I'll make the buttons happen. It's great. I've got a mic.
You've got a mic. You've got an actual voice. We've given you a voice. And your team is Chelsea, right?
It is indeed.
Okay, so we might discuss Chelsea a little bit later when we do. In fact, let's do it now. So I want us to kick off with European football talk. So let's go through let's go through Europa League and Champions League action and discuss what happened last week and where we think the competitions currently lie. Let's start with let's start with your team, actually, Josh. Let's start with Chelsea. You got stroked quite badly. 3-0 home defeat to Bayern Munich.
3-0 home defeat and a red card.
And a red card, yep. That wasn't great.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, who got sent off again?
Alonso. Not good. I mean, a lot of Chelsea fans that I've spoken to are saying that they're not actually that bothered about it because although you were clearly the inferior side, that is the reason, in a way, why they're less pissed. Because it's not like you expected to lose and
we didn't throw it away. We just got...
They were the better team.
I think somebody
better than you.
Gnabriated or whatever is the expression or whatever. Wow. We were absolutely decimated.
Oh, dear. So the tie's over. You'll concede from that, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, barring some miracle. No, I mean, look, the same side that went, what was it, 4-1 down to Ajax and came back for a draw. So I guess anything's possible, but... We've got to go to the Allianz, and if it's not six, I'll be happy.
Josh, percentage-wise, how much chance do you give Chelsea of getting back into this tie?
Zero.
Okay. That's
0%.
Do you think that they severely underperformed in that tie, Josh? Josh United, Josh? Or do you just think it was a case of Bayern Munich are 3-0 better than Chelsea?
I think they were lucky to lose only 3-0.
Oh wow, okay.
But
that's harsh.
No, seriously.
No, we had a couple of chances. We could have got one at least.
Okay.
All right, 5-1 then.
Lucky to only concede three is what I meant. But I just think it's it's Chelsea's form recently, lately, hasn't been good. And I don't think it was a surprise. I don't think it should have been a surprise. I think that's the best team they've played in a while.
Mm.
And the goal thing class was quite obvious. Plus, obviously, they had a few injuries as well.
Chelsea. So,
yeah.
So did Bayern, though. Didn't Bayern have two or three key players?
Yeah, yeah,
as well?
But I'm talking about, like, the Chelsea team wasn't that good anyway okay, compared to Bayern. And then okay. They're missing key players. It's like, it wasn't ideal. So, I kind of expected them to get trashed.
Is it going to be one of those situations where this time next year, Chelsea, I don't know, play like a Bayern Munich, for example, in the same round and batter that team, and then we look back and be like, right, that was the game last year where Frank Lampard got his lesson, got his slaps, he came back a year later, and now he's competing as a manager with Europe's best? Or do you think he's miles off?
I think he's miles off.
Okay.
Personally.
Fair enough.
I do think he needs a bit of help. Because obviously,
player-wise,
he hasn't brought anyone in. Mm-hmm. So you got to say he's doing a good job in that sense. But I do feel like defensively, they still haven't improved from like earlier on the season.
Mm.
And until he sorts that mess out, I don't see.
I think our biggest issue is we are still defensively terrible and have been all season, but we're not firing up front either now. And that's kind of becoming an issue.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I hear that. And just on Bayern Munich, was you impressed by them? Or is it just a case of Chelsea were that bad? Or do you have one of the top two favourites to win the Champions League this year?
They're in my top three.
They're in your top three?
Yeah. Okay. Liverpool, City, Bayern. I think everybody else in the competition is a level below those teams.
Okay.
Obviously, Barcelona are Barcelona, but I don't think they're playing very well. Real Madrid as well. So, but I think Bayern are one of the favourites for the competition. So, I don't think it's a... I don't think Chelsea fans or Chelsea should feel like they didn't do well or they did terribly, because I don't think there's just complete golfing class between the two teams at the moment. But it's with Bayern, I think they played well. I think that they controlled the game and they kind of didn't get out of third gear, if you get what I'm saying. So I was impressed with them. But we'd have to see when they face tougher opposition how they deal with that.
Indeed. You mentioned Barcelona just a minute ago. We're going to discuss Barcelona's result in midweek and also the El Clasico with one of our regular contributors, Ben Hayward from the Evening Standard. How you doing, Ben?
I'm good, Jordan. How about yourself?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. I was going to give you a full title then. Are you the Spanish correspondent, football correspondent for the... or are you the European football correspondent for the Evening Standard?
Yeah. Spanish football correspondent, yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's your area of expertise. Let's start with Barcelona then. Josh just mentioned Barcelona. We'll come to the El Clasico in just a moment, but if we go back to last week, what did you make of their first leg? Because they didn't seem that convincing to me.
No, I didn't think they were that convincing. Obviously, Barcelona's problems in the Champions League and domestically as well have been away from home. And I don't think we saw a big improvement on Tuesday night. Obviously, they've been left short by key injuries. No Luis Suarez. That definitely affects them. Dembele out as well. And Napoli were ultra-defensive in that game, let's be honest. They were playing with virtually six at the back for a lot of it. But this is the kind of... defences Barcelona will have to get used to facing, and I didn't find it convincing. I think they'll overcome it at Camp Nou in the second leg, but judging by the way they played, I don't think they'll be good enough this year to win the Champions League.
A lot of people, Ben, six, 7 years ago, used to kind of, a lot of idiots used to say that Barcelona were like Messi and Barcelona, and basically implying that they were pretty much a one-man team. Is that a fair accusation to make at Barcelona now?
It's probably increasingly so. I think they've become so dependent on Messi. Even if you look back to their games last season in the Champions League, he dragged them through to the semi-finals, that 3-0 win over Liverpool and just plenty of other games as well. He's so important. And I think that they are increasingly reliant upon him. And in Europe, that's not going to be good enough for them to win it. You know, against smaller teams like last week, Camp Nou at home, they beat Eibar 5-0. Messi scored four goals. You know, he can destroy teams, but if he's not given that space, and if he's not given the right support, and with Suarez out as well, then it becomes a lot more difficult. So, yeah, I think it's increasingly so, and the squad hasn't been structured as it should have been to help him succeed.
We'll go to Real Madrid, but I'll get the boys in the studio's view on the Madrid tie first. 2-1 loss at home to Manchester City. Josh, United, Josh, I'll start with you. Did you see the game last week? United, Josh. Sorry, you're United, Josh. Hey, Chelsea, Josh, I meant to say. Sorry, right. I'm
looking at, so you were looking at me.
So why are you blanking at me? Why are you blanking me? I'm calling you Josh. Chelsea, Josh, did you see the game last week?
I watched a bit of it. Obviously, we had all the other games on as well at the same time. But I think it was an interesting one because Madrid came into the tie. They looked like they were in control for most of the first half. Isco obviously got the goal. And at that point, I'll be perfectly honest, I kind of assumed that was where it was going to go. So to see City come back into it in the way that they did surprised me a little bit. But it is Pep Guardiola. He does know what he's doing. There were a few questions around his squad selection, leaving Sterling and Aguero out and things like that. But he'd obviously just set it up in a way that he felt that that was the way to go and get the result away from home. And you win 2-1 in Madrid and you can't really argue with it.
What did you make of that first leg, Josh? Do you think that Pep would have spent a lot of time meticulously, you know, working on a system and a formation and an 11 that was going to beat Madrid? It was a similar setup to when they beat you guys at Old Trafford was it the Carabao Cup?
Yeah,
the Carabao Cup. What did you make of Pep's approach to that first leg?
I thought it was interesting. I thought it was bold. I mean, leaving Aguero on the bench. Sterling, I think he was carrying a knock, so maybe he might get away with that one. But if he didn't win that game and Aguero was on the bench,
problems.
That's a big problem. So that was a gutsy call. And, you know, the guy who he put in, Jesus, scored the goal to put them in front, I think. So I guess he's vindicated.
Mm.
But I thought it was an interesting game. I'm not 100% sure whether I felt like Real Madrid were in control, because I felt like the game was quite even in the first half. But, you know, Real Madrid took over, they got the goal, and you sort of thought, okay, like, game over. They'll probably shut up shop and City won't get back into it. But I think City played well. I think De Bruyne played really well. And that was interesting because I feel like sometimes in the big European games, like, he hasn't really, like, stepped up to the mark, him and sometimes Aguero sometimes. So I feel like that was a good performance from City. Showed a lot of grit. Like, a lot of the times in knockout competitions when they face a really big team, they've tended to crumble if they lose the first goal or something like that. So that's a good, impressive sign.
Ben, I was a bit baffled as to why Madrid seemingly came into this tie as a slight favourite for this game. I know City's form has been a little bit up and down this calendar year, but I probably had it like even at best, maybe leaning towards City. A, what was the vibe in Spain going into this tie? And do you also think that the European ban that City have got played a role in really galvanising Pep and Manchester City?
Yeah, it might have done. It might have done, Jordan, because obviously, if that ban is enforced, then this is their last chance to win the Champions League for a long time. So it's the last chance, perhaps, for Guardiola, although, you know, he said that he's going to stay. But, you know, you're talking two more seasons after this one, and then who knows? And then a lot of the players, if they're not going to be able to play in the Champions League, then will they stay? I mean, it's a big question. So, yeah, I think maybe it's made them more determined, even than before, to go and to go deep into this competition and perhaps even to win it. And of course, Pep Guardiola himself, as ridiculous as it sounds, he has a point to prove when it comes to the Champions League. He hasn't won it since 2011 with Barcelona, and you know, hasn't gone beyond the last eight in his time at City. So yeah, probably made them even more determined. As for Madrid being favourites, I sort of agree with you. I mean, I think it was definitely saw it as 50-50. I suppose a lot of people maybe looked to Real Madrid's reputation in the Champions League and Manchester City having underperformed in recent seasons. But history doesn't always tell us that much. And Guardiola tactically got it right. And Madrid, I thought, didn't deserve to even get a draw on the night. I think it was a fair result. I thought also Zidane dropping Toni Kroos to the bench was a a bizarre decision because he gives them so much in that midfield, not just for the way they play, but also on set pieces. So, yeah, criticism for Zidane for that and a fair result, in my opinion.
And if he got criticised for that tie, he must have got, he must have been back in credit after the weekend. Their 2-0 win, was it, in the end, over Barcelona and the El Clasico. Talk us through what happened there.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Zidane made another really big call last night by selecting Marcelo. And I don't know how much you've seen of Real Madrid this season and last, but Marcelo, wonderful player, though he was at his best, has been kind of a liability in recent times. And so it was a big call by Zidane last night to bring back Marcelo. And I think he did it because of Real Madrid's problems in attack recently. You know, Marcelo provides another threat on that left side, and it actually worked very well in the end. Barcelona weren't able to exploit that weakness down that flank. They didn't really have anybody with the pace to kind of get behind Marcelo. And yeah, Barcelona kind of controlled the first half, had the better chances, couldn't take them, and then Real Madrid were on top in the second half, and in the end, for me, deserved winners.
And just finally, Atletico, they are one up in their tie against Liverpool. That just seemed to me like vintage Simeone in that first leg. Going into the second leg, who was the favourite?
Yeah, well, I mean, before the tie, Liverpool were big favourites, weren't they? And, yeah, rightly so. I mean, they were on such an amazing run in the Premier League and of course, current champions of Europe as well. But I feel like, you know, things are sort of perhaps a little bit ruffled now by Simeone. They lost that first game. Atletico didn't do much, but they did enough to win it. They got the early goal, defended really well, and 1-0 away from home, we've seen in the past, is not a good result in Europe. So, you know, Anfield obviously is going to be noisy. It's going to be a big night. And of course, it's the scene of many famous comeback in the past, including last season. But Atletico have given themselves a chance. Or as I say, they've lost that one. And they lost to Watford at the weekend. So,
who's going through, Ben? Give me a name off the fence. Come on, who's going through? Who's going through?
Oh, I don't know. I think Liverpool's still favourites, but I wouldn't rule out Atleti at all.
That's the fence, still, Ben. Off the fence. I need a name.
All right, I'll say Atleti. Go on.
There we go. Got you in the end. Listen, Ben. Cheers for your time, mate. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, mate. Take care.
Cheers, man. Nice one, Ben. Cheers, man. Josh, let me get your view on that. Sorry, United, Josh. I can't stop doing that. I'm saying Josh and looking at my laptop at the same time, so you're thinking, who are you talking to? United, Josh. Who do you make favourites in that second leg?
Liverpool.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. Like,
do you think Madrid will score?
That's the problem for me. I feel like the first leg, they got the early goal and they shut up shop. They probably should have got another goal as well. I think Morata missed a really good chance, but they got early goal and shut up shop, and it was basically backs against the wall for a very long time in that game. And Liverpool had a few chances, and you know, they played really well. But I mean, going to Anfield and Atletico are not the, you know, their strikers up there are not scoring. They're not really scoring goals in the league. I feel like if they had a potent threat up front, I think that maybe they could do the job because, you know, if they score, it's an away goal. But I can't see them keeping Liverpool out again to zero over 180 minutes. Nah, I can't see. I think Liverpool score at least one goal. So it means Atletico need to score, and I just don't see it, to be honest.
Josh?
See, I think Atleti will score, but I think it'll be 3-1. I think Liverpool will absolutely dominate them at Anfield, unfortunately.
Even in this current form?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, look, they will be coming out of this run and they will be hungry again. Yes, they got beaten by Watford and that was a very weird result.
Is that almost a good thing?
Yeah, I think it will sharpen them up again. I mean, it's hard to say. We're sort of wondering, you know, there's sort of been these little half flickers of, are they about to start falling apart and all the rest of it? You know, they've got the FA Cup against Chelsea this week and I honestly can't see them by the middle of next week being in a position where they're not going to go and want to put at least four past them. They're going to be hungry for it. And Klopp, while there's all these discussions about, you know, is this a great team or whatever else, they now haven't got that unbeaten record. So it's not like they're going to be going for anything particularly legendary. Maybe they'll go for the 100 points like City did. But if you want to make a stamp on this season, now what matters is getting more than one trophy. So whether it's the FA Cup that they decide to prioritise, I don't think they will, but they will be desperate to keep in the Champions League now.
Okay, I think, I tend to agree with you. I think it will be 3-1 actually as well. I think Liverpool will score at least two, but I'd be very surprised if Atletico don't get a goal. I think
something from a set piece.
I think if they score first, that makes it really interesting.
If they score first, it's going to be a great game to watch.
Yeah, makes it really
fantastic game to watch. But I just can't. They're still playing Morata up front, man. I just don't see where the goal's going to come. Even the goal they scored in that game was a bit of a fluke.
It was a little bit. All right, and Spurs, Chelsea, Josh, they're 1-0 down in their tie against RB Leipzig.
Mm-hmm.
They lost at home 1-0, so they got big problems. Can they turn that around? Because they're not in great form either.
No, I mean, after the loss to Wolves as well...
Big up Wolves, by the way.
Big up Wolves, indeed. I don't know, I'm not going to bring them up too much. They're starting to break down, aren't they? It's a difficult one to call because it really does depend what Spurs team turn up. But with the injuries they've got at the moment, going away from home, you know, Leipzig are a good team. And they showed that when they beat them at Spurs. So unless there's something that Mourinho pulls out of his locker, and it is going to be down to Jose, I think. It's not down to even the team. It's whether they can find some way of, like you say, scoring early, levelling the game back up again, and then it's back to all square.
Mm.
But I have to be honest, I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't think Spurs have the firepower at the moment.
I disagree, Josh. I actually think it's the other way around. I think they've got, even without Kane and Son, I think there's still enough goals in that team for them to score a couple. I think the problem they've got is I don't trust them keeping clean sheets at the moment.
I mean, that definitely is.
Do you know what I mean? I can see them conceding a couple of goals as well. What do you reckon? RB Leipzig are a decent team. Do you think they can? You're laughing. Have they got enough now with that 1-0 lead?
I wouldn't know what. Do you know what? To be fair, they've got injuries. Kane out, Son out, etc. But I'm just interested to see what Spurs fans think about how they've been performing under Jose.
They're not happy.
They got completely dominated at home by Leipzig. Like 1-0 flattered them. They were completely dominated. So I can't see how they're gonna get through that tie. Because they're even going to get even more dominated away from home.
Their biggest issue now is I think Mourinho's head's down.
Yeah.
You know, he's gone back into full grumpy Mourinho. You know, he's got a monk on. He's not talking to the press. He's not shaving anymore.
That was a sign. When he shaves, he's a new man.
Yeah.
But now he's not shaving anymore. And he's back to old Mourinho.
I mean, you know it was going wrong when he fell asleep in a barber's chair and ended up having all his hair shaved off. You know, like it's not a sign of a man
himself.
Who's got his self together, as it were. So,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man.
They're going to struggle to get that one around, I think, as well.
It'd be interesting to see whether they keep him. That's actually the thing I'm more interested
in. Jose?
Yeah.
Well, I read something today.
I think it was
Jermaine Gina did an article on the BBC Sport website talking about he would judge Mourinho at the end of the season. And I wonder, to your point, if the board, I think on a 3-year deal, 4-year deal?
I don't know. You know Spurs are not big on splashing money. They don't need to, so...
Actually, it might be shorter than that, actually. But either way, I wonder if the board are also thinking...
You reckon?
You're here to win trophies and that's it. You haven't got to play good football. You ain't got to bring through youth. Just win a trophy.
What, this
and
season,
if he doesn't,
though?
I think so.
I don't know about that, man.
Because when he came in, remember, Kane and Son were both fit.
Yeah, but they're not.
No. But I'm saying, when he got the job, they'd have been thinking you've got a squad there to win a cup, win a League Cup, win an FA Cup, win something.
Not without Kane and Son. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think, like, personally, I don't think they was going to win a trophy anyway. But
I don't think they will win a trophy full stop.
Well, yeah, anyway. but I think slightly the Kane and Son injuries have basically given them a pass for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've given it a pass. And for the fact that, you know, like, there was this talk...
They've happened after the transfer window as well.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's his saving grace.
Yeah.
Is the fact
the Kane
that...
one didn't, did it?
Well...
it didn't. The Kane one didn't. The Son one didn't.
Yeah.
But they brought in Bergwijn. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. I just think that, you know, there's this, like... When I'm speaking to some Spurs fans, they're like, oh, you know, they're totally written us top four, and now they're in the race. So I just feel like... He'll get a pass this season.
Jose wasn't sparkling in his first ever season at Chelsea. He won the Europa League with Man United in his first season. As you say, he's got that I think the phrase people like to use is trophy pig. But like you say, if they do keep him beyond the end of this season, they rebuild with a fit squad and everything. I even wonder whether now they're prioritising next season over this season. Yeah, they don't want to go out in flames in the Champions League. They don't want to get embarrassed at any point. But at the same time, does any of it really matter now? It doesn't look like they're going to make top four.
And he's even been sowing the seeds of basically failure anyway. He's been saying he hasn't got the players. He's been saying he'd rather have players from Leipzig's bench in their first team.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah, he said Emil Forsberg. They've got players sitting on their bench that I'll put in my team.
Okay.
So he's already doing that.
Dropping
hints.
It is going to be interesting to see how the summer plays out between him and Daniel Levy. That's going to be very funny.
I don't think he gets sacked, but I think they will view it as a disappointing season if he wins nothing. I think they will. I don't think they'll sack him, but I think they'll see it as a disappointing season if they don't win a trophy. Let's move on down to the real European trophy. let's get to the real European Cup. Let's start with your lot, Josh. 5-0 winners, second leg. I mean, pretty food and drink, nothing really to say about that. You know, a couple of goals from fringe players.
Simple game.
Fernandez is doing the thing. He didn't play in that game, did he? Or did he play?
No, he did.
He did, okay.
He played really well in that game, actually. I was really impressed by him. It was an easy game. I didn't really expect us not to win that at home.
Are you the favourites?
For the competition? No, I wouldn't say so.
Who are the favourites?
I'll probably go with Inter Milan.
And then? Because Ajax are out.
And then us.
Do you think he should prioritise that?
No.
You think he should prioritise top five?
Top four.
Top four, you should be looking for a top four spot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why? We've won the Europa League already before. Like, I'm not interested. You need to come top four. I think.
But the double whammy of a trophy and Champions League football.
Well, if we win it, it's great. But at the end of the day, I think we should be looking to. Between now and the end of the season, like, we've been so inconsistent this season, it's been unbelievable. And so between now and the end of the season, what I'm looking for from Ole
is a run,
is some consistency in performance. And obviously he's improved the performance a little bit lately, so people are starting to say, oh, he's doing well. Well, let's see. You know, can he between now and the end of the season put a run together and, like, get above Chelsea, get into top four and see if he can catch Leicester? You know, that I don't personally don't think he can. I don't think it will happen because I think we'll remain inconsistent. But if he wants to keep his job beyond the end of the season, he needs to now show some consistency in United's performances.
We're going to talk about both the Manchester clubs and just a little bit of a guest. We're going to get on in a bit. Let's wrap up the European talk with obviously my mob Arsenal, Josh, getting knocked out on Thursday.
You enjoyed that, didn't you?
Yeah, it was good fun. It was good fun. I was live on TalkSport talking about how I think when we started our show at 9 o'clock. I was saying to Hugh, the presenter, you know, the only team that I'm really scared of in this competition is probably Inter. Everyone else, I think, would be a close game. You reeled off all the teams.
What you meant to make was you were fearful of the incredible prowess of Olympiacos.
I promptly put
you to the sword.
I was saying that only Inter, the team that I would be like, oh. And then we were watching as we were live on there, Arsenal, we went 1-0 down, equalised. And then did an Arsenal.
Can I just say one thing about that game that bothered me above all else? And this is about your strikers. If you're going to score an overhead kick, then you've got to put away.
I can't believe him. Oh my God. I can't believe he missed that.
But this is the reason why we won't go into the whole really is he world class thing tonight. But this is one of the reasons why I struggle to put him in that top tier. Because I'm sorry, sky the overhead kick and put the tap in.
Absolutely.
All right. Do you know what? And I don't think he's world class, by the way. But I'm gonna make a.
I'm not blaming him. I'm gonna make a bit of defense. We'll be bottom five. I know all that.
No, I'm gonna make a bit of defense in that game. When you think about it, if I'm a striker, right, and I used to play up front, but obviously not professionally. But in the time when he scored that goal, it was like 88 minutes.
He's done his job.
He's basically won you the game.
Yeah, yeah.
A fantastic goal. He's won you the game. Yeah. Basically, you guys at the back there, defense, goalkeeper, midfield,
don't fall asleep.
Yeah. Basically, don't concede. We've won the game. So, I know he missed that chance, but kind of, it's
the,
like,
the bigger picture
I don't blame
is,
him because
we didn't go out because
it's so frustrating that he's put that ball in the back of the net. Basically, he's thinking he's won you lot the game and you've gone and conceded.
What are you thinking about ridiculous. Leno now? Because I know, look, you've got one of our greats sitting in the middle of your defence who we got rid of because he wasn't so great anymore.
Oh, you are mocking the team.
Sorry.
You are really mocking the team. Bro.
But the more interesting
after you
bit,
know I was never pro-Luis.
I know you were never
pro-Luis. From the day we got him, I was never pro-Luis. But go on anyway.
But the other thing is, I'm starting to wonder about Leno's performances as well. He's not looking as sharp as he was. Obviously, we've had similar issues with, you know, we spent a ridiculous amount of money on Kepa and he's now not playing. Mm. I don't know where you go and get another goalkeeper from, but I think you need to look at it.
I think Leno, weirdly enough, he has been a little bit dodgy the last few games, but I actually think, Aubameyang aside, he's probably been our best player this season.
I'm not sure about that. Either.
I think he probably has. He's,
do you know what? I used to watch him. I used to think he's all right.
He's a but good
did
keeper.
Did you see that not... stat? Did you see that stat?
Yeah,
that's what
that surprised
since
me.
Since the beginning of last season, him, Kepa and De Gea have made the most and errors Pickford. Leading to goals. No, I'm Pickford. Yeah, sorry. The most errors leading to goals.
That surprised me.
That is not good.
That did surprise me.
That is not good.
Interestingly, I'd love to know how many shots they're taking on compared to a lot of other keepers. Mm. Though. And that's the other thing you've got to look at.
Yeah.
That's why I say he's been good this year. Because I bet you any money, he's holding more shots than all three of the other keepers.
All three of what other keepers?
Out of Pickford, De Gea, Kepa and Leno, I put good money on Leno is having to save a lot more shots.
No, but this
in fact,
errors.
I know for a fact.
This is errors, not saving. And you can't, and this is the whole of the Premier League. But it includes keepers at Norwich, it includes keepers at Burnley.
But
you know what I'm saying?
It's going to be higher if you're taking more shots.
Yeah, of course. But not higher than a Burnley goalkeeper. Mm. Surely not.
I don't know, you know.
Nah, I'm not.
We've had
that,
games just this year where we've been conceding like 20, 30 shots.
I am not having it.
We've had multiple games where we've been conceding
Jordan.
20, 30 shots on
our
goal.
You're going to see if
that
guys
is a
make,
lot for even a relegation team, that's a lot.
You're still going to sit there and make an argument, a case and argument, that your goalkeeper is facing more shots than Burnley, Norwich, Palace.
I don't know for.
No, I don't know for a fact. I'm not having it.
But what I do know for a fact is there's been multiple, not just one,
I know,
there's been multiple games. Where we've conceded, I'm seeing 30 shots on our goal.
Yeah.
Even teams at the bottom
no,
on a regular
do.
Basis.
No, they do. Nah, they do, bro.
I'm not seeing Burnley getting 30 shots on their goal.
Bruv, see that Pope goalkeeper, yeah? The reason why people have him in the fantasy team because he faces shots, so many shots. So when he makes the saves, you get the points.
Mm.
He got 10 points like this weekend.
Yeah, but didn't get a clean sheet.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Because he faced so many shots, he gets the bonus points.
Well, either way, going back to Leno, I've never thought Leno was top level. He's a tier below for me. But, but I think it's a fair point you bring up. I think recently his form has dipped. I don't think he's the problem. And I also think he's the best goalkeeper Arsenal at the moment can get.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't know if Arsenal can get a keeper better than him.
What?
Yeah, I'm with George.
I don't
on
know
that
where
you
go because if you're going above him, you're then going into world class bracket.
You think he's that good?
No, I think he's
him or Nick Pope.
You think he's that good? Nah, bro.
Probably Pope.
I think he can get better. Than him, sorry, Pope.
And he's playing for Burnley.
All right, I'll give you Pope. I don't think there's like a plethora of goalkeepers at the moment. That a bit like strikers. This is why I've changed my stance on Aubameyang and Lacazette because as bad as Lacazette's been this season, and as much as I criticise Aubameyang, Arsenal ain't gonna get any strikers better than those two.
Nah, let's not have this conversation.
I don't think Arsenal in the Europa League get a better striker than Aubameyang and Lacazette. I just don't believe that.
This is a broader Lacazette. Question, but it does feel like some of the top teams now. I mean, Chelsea aside, maybe a bit with Man United, but where's scouting gone?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Or just coaching.
Well, yeah.
It's
coaching,
terrible.
Do you know what I mean? These are terrible. Not crap players. They're just players that are not being coached properly.
Mm. No, but, all right. I didn't want to do Lacazette. Are you really going to say you can't get a better striker than Lacazette?
He's having a really poor
There's
season
Premier
this year.
League strikers, yeah? Since Lacazette's been here, he's only got, I think, the max he got in the season is 13. There's players
I mean, Tammy's managed that.
There's players playing in the Premier League that's got more goals than that. There's players playing in the Premier League that's got more than that. So I don't want to hear that you can't get a better striker than them.
I don't know.
Come on. That's not that hard. If you say you can't get a better striker than the Aubameyang, I'll say, yeah, that's difficult. But Lacazette, come on, bruv.
Well, either way, I think these are the players we're stuck with for now. And I think we have to just kind of get on with it. But it was embarrassing. I think, just final question on Arteta. Do you think that in some ways this might be a blessing in disguise for him, and that he can just write off the season now and just really drill down on what he's got to do between now and
focus on his revolution.
Basically, yes. Basically, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, sorry. It's not that I don't like Arteta. I think he would be... I do think he's actually quite a good coach. And, you know, you wouldn't see Pep Guardiola investing in the way that he has done in him. I just wonder whether he's gone for a job that is a little bit too big for him right now. Mm. And it'll be interesting to see whether he sinks or swims in the next season. But you've definitely taken a gamble there. In the same way Chelsea have.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, for sure.
I think Arsenal are at a point now where I'm not sure they can afford that gamble in the same way as Chelsea could at the beginning of this season with a transfer ban.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the worst thing possible that could have happened to Arteta just happened. Not winning Europa League for me is the worst thing possible, because he's going to get screwed in the summer by that Arsenal board. Without that Champions League money, they're going to screw him.
I mean, you could argue that he was going to get asked to manage to get screwed.
Yes, he would have got screwed anyway, but without the Champions League money, it's going to be even worse.
Mm.
Like, he's struggling. He's struggling, mate.
All right, well, we'll come back to Arsenal, I'm sure, at some point in this season. And let's have a very brief fantasy football update of the weekend. It was a bit of a mess this weekend.
Forgot to do my team.
I forgot as well, actually, with the Friday game. I got messed up. Coach Gerald Lamy has dropped back down to second with a game week of 25. Singing for Ingram, now back to top of the league. First with a game week of 53 points. I had a shocker, game week of 17 points.
Wow.
I'm now down to 13th. Josh, you moved up to 9th with a game week of 41 points. So we can write this weekend off because
Bruno Fernandes and Nick Pope saved me.
Yeah, I meant to get Fernandes in, but I didn't know that. In fact, I didn't forget. I didn't know there was a Friday night game. So I was a bit pissed about that. So that kind of screwed me a little bit. Plus, I've got to take out Aguero and De Bruyne, who were both my captains. So I got absolutely ruined. But, you know, that's how it goes anyway. Right, let's have a chat now about the two Manchester clubs. And to do so, I'm going to bring you in for the first time on the pod, Mr. Pundit Jay. Pundit Jay, what are you saying, man?
Hello, man. You all right?
I'm good, man. I'm very well. So now, your content on your platform is kind of scrutinising and analysing both the Manchester clubs and the Premier League. But you don't do it like them dry man on Sky Sports. You kind of do it with a little bit of sauce. You kind of keep it a bit more real. So first of all, before we kind of get into both Manchester clubs from the weekend, tell us a little bit about your kind of brand and style of punditry.
Well, to be honest with you, obviously, like, we get the usual Sky Sports, you know what I mean, BT Sports type commentary and punditry, whereas me, I'm more keeping it more like how we talk to each other or talk to your friends or discuss things on WhatsApp and things like that, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm just out there just putting it out there. Obviously, I've just got my own little unique style. And obviously, because I speak on both Manchester clubs, I might support one of them, I'm not biased to the other. Do you know what I'm saying? So I try and keep it as real as possible and say it how it is. If United are rubbish, I'll say United are rubbish. If City are rubbish, I'll say City are rubbish. And if both good, I'll say they're both good. Do you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, yeah.
More like a level playing field. Yeah, man. So I'm just out here talking the football talk.
Can I ask you which one you support?
Yeah, I'm a Man United fan, me.
Okay, cool. All right, let's start with United then, Pundit Jay. 1-1 draw on the weekend with Everton. Both keepers in a mess, but in a weird way, by the end of it, they kind of both made good saves to kind of protect the point for both of their teams. What did you make of United's performance, and just more broadly, what do you make of where United currently are and what they can still achieve this season?
Okay, with United, firstly, I think with Ollie, when he's coming and everything, like, obviously he's been given the keys to the house this season, do you know what I mean? He was caretaker at first. Okay, fair enough. He did very well as a caretaker. Then they gave him the job. Now he's coming this season. And now it's all about setting his foundations, his philosophy, which I'm still not sure about, to be honest with you. But he's coming. He's cleared the house. He's got rid of a lot of experienced guys. And he's trying to build a young, fresh, energetic squad. And in some ways, it's working. And in some ways, it's not. You've got guys like Greenwood, Brandon Williams now, who's just come into the team. They've not gone on loan. They've come straight from the academy. They're young, and he's blending them into Premier League football, cup football. And at the moment, the results is always going to be inconsistent. You've got guys like Aaron Wan-Bissaka moved to his first big club. You've got Maguire moving to a Cattie big club. Then you've got guys like Daniel James moving from Swansea. So it's always going to be inconsistent, meddled in with Rashford, who's still 21, 22, do you know what I mean? So it's always going to be inconsistent as a team in terms of results. Now, in terms of Everton, I thought the performance was just okay, to be honest with you. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, the first half, there was a bad start in it, De Gea. You can't start a football match like that with the four goals in the back of the net for 2 minutes, you know what I'm saying? So, United were always going to be on a uphill task from that moment onwards, and Everton's a tough place to go.
Just on De Gea, Pundit Jay, what do you make of him? Because it's not the De Gea we saw, you know, 3-4 years ago, and there's been a clear decline in his performances. He's making lots of mistakes, and over 2, maybe 3 years, he wasn't making any mistakes. What do you think has been the reason for his drop in form in this last 2 seasons in particular?
I think with De Gea, he's, in a way, I think he's just gone back to his character, which was when he first came, he doesn't command this area, does he? Do you know what I mean? And teams know that, and his mistakes, he's not very good with his footwork either. He's not, you know what I mean? When you look at guys like Edison and New, and then you look at De Gea, there's a big contrast, you know what I'm saying? He's a very good shot stopper, do you know what I'm saying? And what happens is, you know, I don't think he's progressed, and I think he's stalled for a good few years now. Man United have got a big decision to make, because he just signed not long ago, we signed a fresh new contract, you know what I'm saying?
A big one too.
A big one, and do you know what it is? He's had credit in the bank for what he's done in the past, but football moves quickly. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. Football moves quickly. If you don't move with the times, then you're going to get left behind. And at the moment, De Gea is struggling. It's a bit of an uphill task for him. Do you know what I'm saying? He has games where he makes worldies and you think, great save. But then he'll do something and it'll roll through his butter hands and it's, yeah. And the net. Do you know what I'm saying? But that's the world of a goalkeeper, though, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
I've got Josh here as a United fan as well. Josh, what's your stance on De Gea? I mean, he's on that big contract. Would you just... Look, it's not working now. Is he costing you more points than he's saving you?
To be honest, yeah. He cost us top four last season. David De Gea cost United and Ole top four last season. He made some shocking errors. And it was so surprising for me that they gave him that contract. Like, yeah. I understand why they did it. He was player of the year a couple of seasons before that and he's got credit in the bank. But I just think it showed, again, as a club, that United, the way they think about what they're doing, it's not progressive enough, because they knew that they had Henderson.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. They didn't have to give De Gea that contract. They could have said, we're going to keep De Gea this season. If he plays well, we'll give him a contract. And if he doesn't, we'll let him go.
Mm.
And yeah. Henderson replaces him. It's that simple. Now, they've put themselves in the position where they'd have to try and sell De Gea if they want to play Henderson. And yeah. To get rid of De Gea, on that massive wages, there's only a couple of clubs that's going to be able to sign him. And do they want him?
True that.
So I think it just shows the club, they're still, even though they're putting out this rhetoric that they've got a plan and they're following the strategy, their decisions they're making, you can still tell that it's not good enough.
Mm.
On De Gea, I personally would have sold him in the summer and gambled. I would have been happy with Romero starting this season.
Mm.
Yeah. Romero.
That's how annoyed I was with De Gea last season.
And Pundit Jay, what have you made of Daniel James's first season at United? Do you rate him, or do you just see a British player that's quick and young, so he gets a little bit of a bly? Or do you actually think this is the guy that in 2-3 years' time really has the ability to be in that United 11 and making an impact?
I looked at him and I thought, let me analyse this guy. I thought, let me look at him now, see what I go on with this guy here now. And I looked at him and I thought, you know what? You're just pace, you. you see my man now, Daniel James, he's got a lot of pace in that, but it's all about using your pace correctly. Mm. Do you understand me? Like, when you look at Raheem Sterling, for example, and I'm not comparing Daniel James to Raheem Sterling on levels, but I'm just saying, Raheem Sterling's main attribute is his pace, yeah? And what's happened is Pep's used him and made his pace available and always in the right place at the right time to be able to get those tappings at the back post. I'm looking at Daniel James and I'm looking at him thinking, okay, you've got pace. Are United using you correctly? Because all I see is a basic player who can run fast. Do you know what I mean? Now, it's all about having a guy who's going to feed you the ball to be able to use that pace to do something with. Now, he came in, adrenaline's high. You know, it's a nice story, £50 million from Swansea. But can he take Man United to Premier League titles? Because let's not get it twisted. Man United's expectations are to win Premier League titles and win Champions League. That's it. Not finishing third, not finishing fourth, winning titles. So is Daniel James that guy who's going to be on the wing when United win a Premier League title? I don't think so. I think he's just good enough to be a squad player. But if United get top four this season, I ain't going to lie, I'd send him out on loan, me.
You said about alone, yeah? Mm.
Yeah, I send him out alone, just keeping it real with you. When you look at City, when you look at Liverpool, them wide guys. Now, is Daniel James better than Zaha? No. Is Daniel James better than Richarlison? No. Is he better than Son? No. Mane, Salah, Mahrez, Sterling. What's he doing for Manchester United?
It's a discussion.
I'll have it out with any Arsenal fans, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, when you look at the list of those guys, Daniel James is a no. Is he even better than St. Maximin?
Oh, jeez. Wow.
No, he's not.
There you go. These are the questions we've got to start asking ourselves. Is he better than Adebayo Traore? What's he doing playing for Man United week in, week out if he's not better than those 10 guys? That's my problem with him.
Just finally and briefly on United, what's a successful season now for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
Top four. Champions League. If he gets Champions League, I think for what he's done, stripping the house, he's trying to rebuild the house, he's trying to renovate it again. For him stripping everything out, if he gets top four Champions League, do you know what? I think he deserves more time and I think he deserves more money. Bruno looks a decent signing. What Wan-Bissaka's a decent signing. Maguire, good signing. Daniel James is the only question mark. So do you know what? If he gets top four, I'd give him time and I'd give him a bit more money.
Briefly, Josh, if he gets top four, would you give him, because I know you've been Ole out from day.
Yeah.
Would you, if he gets top four though,
yeah,
would you, and that brings Champions League football, would you give him another year?
No.
What's he got to do is keep his job.
For me, for him to keep his job, he needs to show me that he has a clear idea of how he wants United to play. And he's been able to implement it consistently between now and the end of the season. For me, if he gets top four, I think he's done good. But we have to look at what the competition was. Chelsea basically fell off a cliff. Top four, I think, is going to be, for to get the point, is going to be one of the lowest it's ever been. So I don't think it shows me he's capable of us taking us where we need to win a title, for instance. Mm. If he shows me that he can play consistently between now and the end of the season, because I think the last three or four games or so, we've improved. We looked a lot better. Defensively, we're a bit more defensively solid. Keeping clean sheets, scoring goals. Everton away was a tough game. For me, that was an acid test. If he would have won and won that game, I'd have been like, okay, interesting.
Mm.
Interesting. Okay, let's see what he's going to do now. But going into that game, I was like, I think we're going to drop points then because we're too inconsistent. I understand we've got young players, but even that game in the first half, all right, he did a good tactical decision. I think he did well. I think we outplayed Everton in the first half, even though we conceded that goal. Second half, Ancelotti looked at half-time. He saw we're overloading down the left. He's made tactical changes. Ole didn't make any tactical changes.
Mm.
Right? So in-game, when like I just feel like he's costing us because they're a top manager would have seen that Ancelotti's made an adjustment and he needs to change something.
So it's one step forward, two steps back.
So I just think that he's just not the level of manager that we need, right? If we're talking about Daniel James, what's he doing playing for Man United? And I totally agree. I got the same feeling about Ole. I think that Ole, if he gets top four, I think that they'll probably give him the job again for next season. And I'm going to be a bit disappointed by that. But I understand why they'll do it.
Mm.
But I think he would have improved his reputation by getting top four, right? And I would say, okay, maybe he's a better manager than I thought. But does that make me think he's a manager that's going to take United to a league title? No way.
Yeah, because it's all about expectations, isn't it? Because if you ask most United fans, if we were honest, yeah, as a United fan, if you ask yourself, where did you expect Man United to finish this season? You didn't expect them to win the league and you didn't expect them to finish second. So you expected United to finish between third and fifth. And that's exactly where Ole is, to be quite honest with you. He's between third and fifth. So really and truly, he's just, at the moment, he's living up for the squad that United have got. And plus, he made the squad supposedly worse. And he's still in the positions that where you kind of expect United to be between third and fifth, because they're not better than Liverpool and they're not better than Manchester City. So it's only a bit of a disappointment to see Chelsea, who've lost Hazard, and Leicester, who United expect to be better than above them. But in terms of where you expect Manchester United to finish in August, it was always going to be between third and fifth, always.
And just a word on Manchester City, pundit Jay. Same question to you with them. What now is a successful season for Pep Guardiola? Is it a case of he has to win the Champions League, otherwise it's a failure season for Manchester City?
No, I think, for Manchester City, I think a trophy a season is great for that club. absolutely.
Oh, you're mugging it. You're mugging it. You're mugging the team now. No, no, you're mugging the team, Pudge. You are taking liberties. Man, I'm saying any trophy for that club is a good season. No. You can't have. No. Be serious. Be serious now. Come on.
Listen, you got to remember, you know, City have just won the title twice in a row. There was always going to be a drop off. They've lost Sane, they lost Laporte. Do you know what I mean? They've had big injuries now. If you took Van Dijk out of Liverpool and Salah, they wouldn't be the same. Do you know what I mean? So for City, I think there's a little bit of a rebuilding job going on. David Silva's finishing. Aguero's coming to the end of his tether. Fernandinho's getting on. Do you know what I mean? Company's gone. They've lost key personnel, and they're going to keep losing key personnel as they rebuild this particular side. But I think for Guardiola, he has to get to the Champions League semis at least. Do you know what I mean? They've already won the Carabao Cup. As long as they finish second in the Premier League, that's a competitive season for Manchester City. Do you know what I mean? Now, if they can win another cup as well and get two cups, fantastic season. City have come a long way, you know, in a short space of time. So to expect them to be winning Champions League every season or the Premier League every season, it's unrealistic. Do you know what I mean? They've won two titles in a row, breaking all kinds of records, formidables, centurions. You can't expect that every season. I mean, there's always going to be a drop-off at some point. And this season's been one of them. They've had some terrible results. Norwich away, Wolves at home, even Man United at home. Do you know what I mean? For them, it burnt them. Do you know what I mean? So City, for them, big job in the summer for Pep. Sort it out. Do you know what I mean?
Pundit Jay, big up, man. Where can people find where can people find you online and find your punditry and your analysis on the two Manchester clubs?
Yeah, I'm there on Twitter, at Pundit Jay, PUNDITJAY, and I'm also on the Instagram as well. But yeah, Twitter and Instagram, I'm there.
Pundit Jay, you're a G. Cheers for coming on the pod, man. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, man. Thank you for asking me.
Cheers,
thank
man. You. Take care, man. Big up. Man said a trophy a season. I hear what he's saying. Maybe I'm part of that camp.
Harsh.
Maybe I'm being a little harsh, but... Boy, I know, you know, you kind of spend that kind of money. Man ain't looking for just a trophy a year, but we'll see. With one trophy, if they can secure second, and I agree with him actually, I think it's got to be semis at least.
I think at least got to
go to the semis, last four.
I think, not to say they'll like it's a disaster, but I think Pep, for his own credibility, we'll want to at least get them to the final, because he's been to the semi with them.
I think the final as well.
I think he probably wants to win it, but you know, you can't win Champions League. It's sometimes a little bit of luck to win Champions League.
That takes us into a segue sometimes, for our last section, and I will actually start with you, Chelsea Josh, on this one. So before we wrap up the pod, what for you is the harder achievement to achieve: retaining the Premier League or winning the Champions League?
Ooh. Now, I mean, purely on the numbers, we've retained the Premier League on a couple of occasions. We've only won the Champions League once, and that wasn't with our best team. There's a lot of luck in it. Whether it's a lucky draw, whether it's a lucky game, you know, we had to beat Barcelona away to go through at one point. You know, you saw last season when Liverpool won it, I think, what was it, 5-3 or something, one of their results was. You have to have a few mad games. Spurs getting to the final last year had to get past City in that absolutely incredible game. Mm. It is these one-off moments that if everyone's not 100% on their game for that 90 minutes, it doesn't matter how good your team is on paper. And I think that is what makes it a more difficult thing to do. That being said, back-to-back Premier Leagues requires a consistency that you don't see in anything other than great teams.
Mm-hmm. So, United, Josh, I mean, I've got here that only Chelsea United have retained the Premier League in its current era. In that same time of the Premier League era, Chelsea have won the Champions League once, Liverpool and United have both won it twice each, and only six other final appearances from all the clubs mentioned, so including Arsenal as well. First of all, what for you is the harder achievement? And second of all, why?
Retaining the Premier League. I think, just as you just said there, only Chelsea and United have done it. And I think those are, in my opinion, only the two only great
and
Premier
City,
League
sorry,
teams.
City.
The two, I don't, well, City, okay, yeah. But
I'll
put them as a great Premier League team as well. But I think, I just think that that Chelsea team and the United team, I would say, are the great Premier League team. City probably arguably up there as well. If Liverpool win the title and then go on to win it next season or win the Champions League this season, I'll put them up there as well. I think retaining the Premier League is harder. I do understand that there's an element of luck in winning the Champions League, but I'll take you back to Istanbul, Liverpool winning the Champions League that season. That team could never win the Premier League, let alone retain it.
It was an average team at best. Yeah.
I think they came like fifth or something in the league or something.
Chelsea did something similar the year we won it.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones where, particularly now, it seems like you have to kind of pick one or the other. I think European dominance, and that's why I say it will be remarkable if Liverpool can do that this season, and that will put them right up there. Because no one wins the Premier League and the Champions League in the same season, particularly.
So where does that elevate Liverpool then, if they do that?
If they win the league and the Champions League this season, you have to say that. I mean, they'll only be like the second team in history to retain the Champions League as well. I think that's even harder. Like, if you want to talk about retaining, that's probably even
harder than the Premier League.
Ooh, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Real Madrid's treble Champions League was probably one of the greatest footballing achievements of all time.
Yeah, maybe.
I agree with that.
Three Champions Leagues in a row.
I'm not sure if it's harder than winning, say, three Premier Leagues in a row.
No, but that's three. You're talking about three now.
Okay, well, two. I don't think retaining the Champions League is harder than retaining the Premier League.
No, I think it is. You know,
I don't know.
Think it is because you have the element of luck. In a cup, right? In a league, it's about consistency. If you are the best team, can you consistently perform week in, week out, and then do that the next season, right? That's not luck. There's no element of luck. You're just the best team in the league. When you move to the Champions League, you might be the best team in the Champions League, but you need an element of luck to win it. To win it two times in a row, to me, that's not luck. You are clearly the best team in Europe. Facts. I don't see how you can be that lucky twice.
You've gone through and you've dominated the competition.
But you think that winning the... Okay, so...
If you win it once, you can get lucky and win. I don't think you can get lucky and win the Champions League twice in a row. I don't think that's luck. You are clearly the best team in Europe.
You're talking about... And again, when you talk about what's harder, it's actually more about what's going on within the team. You need the consistency with the players. You need that squad to be cemented. Your first 11 needs to pick itself for you to
win the Champions League.
Win the league twice.
Oh, okay.
To win any top
Champions League
twice.
But you think one-on-one, it's harder to win the Premier League than the Champions League?
To retain it.
To win it.
Now you say that Leicester have never won the Champions
League. I know, but they weren't in it.
They were the season after.
No, that team.
Yeah. It's true that. So you think it's harder to win a Premier League than a Champions League?
Yeah, because again, winning a league is about being consistent. Like you can be rubbish in the first half of the season in the Champions League and like scrape through because you got a relatively simple group and you managed to scrape through the skin of your teeth, which Real Madrid, when they won the Champions League in one of those seasons, did.
I think it was the first one.
They were quite poor in the first one. Yeah,
didn't they take Atleti to
extra time? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. They should have lost that game.
So, you know, like, I just think, you know, you don't have to perform consistently throughout the season to win the Champions League, right? You can perform
just in the right moments.
Okay. In the first half of the season, you need to switch it on after the winter break, which is what Ronaldo used to do. He used to for the first half of the season and then turn up second half of the season guns blazing and win the Champions League for Real Madrid. You can't do that in the Premier League. You can't go missing for the first half of the Premier League
and then catch up
go missing for the second half having won the first half.
we've seen that.
Okay, which final point is the argument against your argument that the quality of competition you're up against in the Champions League significantly better than in Premier League.
Is it? Who did City play last season before they got to the semi-final? I don't think they played anyone great.
Okay, but look at Liverpool then. Liverpool had to play two or three top European teams.
So it's luck. Like, it depends on your draw. You could really get to the quarterfinal, semi-final and play no one of any significance.
Okay, that's out of your control, clearly. But so I'm saying, all right, teams that have had to play two or three other top European teams win a Champions League, is that harder than having to beat all the teams in the Premier League over the course of a season?
It depends on the Premier League season.
And it also depends on the teams you're coming up against. Because, again, on paper, every team can be great. Mm. It's just whether they turn up on the night for the Champions League. I mean,
that can be applied to some degree in the Premier League as well.
Yeah, but...
i.e. the weekend Watford's game against Liverpool. you can catch Liverpool on a bad day and you get 3 points.
Absolutely. But in terms of consistency over a season, and we're seeing that with all the teams, there are now a bunch of teams that are around the same level and they're all beating each other, which is why Liverpool are so far out in front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear that. I'm trying to think what I think. Which one is harder?
Come on, man.
I always think you judge teams basically on the league. I think the league is the marker of
it's bread and butter.
Yeah, I think if you can beat everyone twice, I think if you can amass enough wins over playing everyone twice, I think that is better than or more harder than beating Real Madrid in the quarters, Bayern in the semis, and then I don't know Liverpool in the final. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I think endurance is what really and there's decent-ish teams in the Premier League. You're not playing Real Madrid, Bayern Munich and every week, granted, but I think there are
if Real Madrid and Bayern Munich were playing in the same standard of league, and this is not going against any of the other European leagues, but
Mickey Mouse leagues, are we going to say, yeah, Josh?
Not going to say Mickey, but there is some truth to the fact that I mean, you know, I've watched a lot of La Liga. I used to live out there, you know, and
you can play 70% and win a lot of games.
There are a lot of games where you can turn up and, I mean, it's even with the crowd sizes and everything else like that. Real Madrid particularly draw a whole different kind of audience to whatever game they play for. Every game that you go to, even as a home game, is more expensive if Real Madrid turn up.
Mm.
That is how unbalanced that league is.
That's kind of messed up.
It's mad.
That is quite messed up.
But that's how it works, because people show up because they want to see that team play, even if you support the other team. And that's where you're talking about the level of standard. You don't see that in the Premier League. You don't even see it in the Championship. There are teams now, you know, we're talking about English football in particular. The two top leagues in the UK, I mean, you could see, you know, I mean, Derby beat you in the FA Cup last year and things like that. There are teams in the lower leagues that could give these teams a run for their money. It's just because they're so up on a pedestal that they seem to dominate in their leagues and everything else like that. But Real Madrid have been average in La Liga for the last few seasons, to be honest. That is the only way that I can sort of see it. They've not been brilliant.
And now they're going to win the league this year. They're top of the league now. I mean, they're going to win a league that, I mean, Barca and Atletico are not great. They're not great this year.
Yeah, but this is what I was. I mean,
granted, I've not watched all season, but
Barca are not great this year. I agree, but they'll take most teams in the Premier League.
I would agree.
If Getafe are as far up the league as they are, and this is again not going against them, but this is a team that I've watched.
I know. I follow
Malaga, who are now languishing at the bottom of League One, basically in Spain, but. When you saw them play Getafe, they were nothing special. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they're having a bit of a Leicester season this year, but I honestly don't believe that beyond anything else. Yeah. You know, Valencia are a good side. You know, Sevilla, again, they sort of blow hot and cold, but there's no consistent challenges there. You're talking about the Premier League. You have Wolves now. You have Tottenham. You have United. You have Arsenal. You have Chelsea. You have Man City.
I think you can compare like a Wolves. You can make a comparison to a Sevilla, maybe.
Mm.
Maybe I would say Sevilla is probably a level above them, but Wolves have come a long way. So I think like teams
you
like
look at the way they dominated Espanyol and
teams like Arsenal, you know, Valencia type teams.
Mm.
Like so, I think most leagues have interestingly. Like, I think that with the influx of money coming into the German league at the moment with Leipzig and Hoffenheim and those kind of teams there, you're starting to see a competitive league because now you've got Bayern, Dortmund, Leipzig, who any three of those teams can win the title, right? And
I've been watching the league, actually, the last
I think
of
the
months.
Premier League is I think it's. I don't think the Premier League is as competitive in terms of who can win the league as most people think. I think there's only two good teams in the Premier League. That's City and Liverpool.
Yeah, but doesn't that change every few years?
Yeah, the speed of change is much
two or three
faster
years. It will be four teams again. Then 2 years later, it will be three. You know, and one team will. You know what I mean? So that just changes.
Whereas La Liga, it's just Barcelona, Real Madrid. Atletico. Maybe,
yeah, and a nominee, yeah, yeah. Atletico, I hear yeah. that. Josh, you've come on the pod this week. How was your first one, Josh?
I enjoyed that.
I enjoyed having you on as well. Thank you very much. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. You know what to do by now on iTunes, Spotify. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you think, which is the harder achievement to achieve. Retaining the Premier League or winning the Champions League, and also let us know what you think about the two Manchester clubs, and if you agree with Pundit Jay in his assessment of those two clubs. Until next week, peace.